what's happening around the city. There's this connection. There's this sense of unity, this sense of oneness. And even as I look around the room, I don't just see a bunch of individual ministries, but all across this room, there are ministries that are intricately and intentionally connected around, you know, different gatherings, different prayer initiatives, different things that we come together with. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. And so I'm really excited about today. This morning, if you've never been to Worship City Alliance, we just want to welcome you here. Jerry Bryant is not with us this morning, and Karen, Pastor Karen Johnson, who's absolutely incredible, just a mighty woman of God here in the city, and she's been contending for just years here in the city, and so we've been able to partner along 27 years. And just what you bring is just so absolutely powerful. And did you want to share a little bit about Jerry is?
We were just going to have everybody pray, come in unity. Jerry is the leader of WCA, and we've been staying in contact. He had some physical problems that made his doctors think that they better check his heart out. So I've heard from him this morning. He said he's feeling great. They just want to make sure there's nothing blocked or in the carotid arteries. So could we just all come in unity and pray for him right now? And Father, we love Jerry. He's an apostolic father. He's a pastor. He wears many hats. And he's been so faithful over the city. And he loves the city, God. And he loves your people. He just is such an amazing father in the spirit. And we've come together as a body right now, Lord. We speak life to Jerry. We speak life to the chambers in his heart, the valves, the arteries. We just say light be. Because God, when you said light be, darkness had to separate. So anything dark, God, any assignment against him, Lord, we come against premature death, any altar of premature death. We just serve you. Notice, you'll not touch this man of God. We say now that his latter end will be greater than the former. And we just ask you to bless him right now as one puts 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000. Lord, may we push back the enemy. And thank you, God. There is more with Jerry than against him. And we do. We say, Jerry, be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you all for praying. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. Wow, well, here we are in summer. Back over here, we've got Hooper, who's with the fish. And Hooper has some things that he wants to be able to give away and be able to connect with us. It's such a blessing to have you with us today, Hooper. Thank you. And so get connected. Check out what they've got. We're just so thankful for your ministry in the city of Nashville. The fish is the radio and so many amazing things that you guys put out there and just connect the body of Christ all around this region. We just honor what you guys do. And Lord, just continue to bless the fish ministry. Continue to expand the reach. Lord, just continue to empower people, lift them up, exhort them. And Father, we just thank you for their ministry and bless them in Jesus' name. You know, this group has been established since 2007. James Gall started this group. The Worship City Alliance was leading up to the call in Nashville. That's pretty incredible. And so month after month, we come together for this time, not only to connect, not just to hear a good word, but to connect. And I believe that even as of late, you can sense that there's winds of change that are blowing across not only our nation, but around the world. And that place of unity, that place of oneness. You know, for so long, the church has operated out of a place where and it's great, you know, just lifted up and operated out of the place and the focus of just the ministry, as opposed to the whole body. And so I believe that there's a transition that's happening now from transactional unity to relational unity. which is kingdom transactionalism. And so there's just a greater focus on that. You know, this unity, this sense of relationship. And so even as I look around this room, and like I said just a bit ago, so many people in this room are already connected. And even if we haven't been to your ministry in a while, or we see the posts on Facebook, Instagram, on the social media post, and how you guys are connected. And so it's really cool to see how the Lord is bringing the body of Christ together in Nashville in even greater capacity, with a greater sense of intentionality. It's not just transactional. Hey, you got what I want. I'm just going to get filled up for the day and go my way. That's cheap. That's easy. It costs you nothing. But here's one thing I think that it's very important that you know. It's important that all of us know. When we come together here at Worship City Alliance, you actually carry a piece and part. When you come in this room, you're not just occupying a chair. You actually carry a piece and part that we don't have unless you're here. When the Lord connects you through somebody, whether you're from Clarksville or whether you're from Bellevue, Antioch, in marketplace ministry, a church, intercessor ministry, or if you're on the north side, the south side, east, west, it doesn't matter. We all belong. And so your piece and part matters. And so I just want to honor you. I just want to honor you for making this a part of your life, a part of your ministry, a part of your part of the wall that's around Nashville. That's a big deal. It's a big deal. You're a big deal. There's nobody in this room that's just the extra in the movie of our life. Okay? You're not extras. You're a big deal. And so we just honor you. Marion, you've got a couple things to share about. And we're excited about this. And also, the prayer shield. Do we have the... Kylie, thank you so much. If we could have the prayer shield, just this month, we've got the prayer shield. If you've got something to write those down with, we're lift up these pastors every month. We do that. And so, and thank you for putting that together, Mary. Oh, is he? Okay, well.
It's on the Facebook page.
Oh, come on. Yeah. So you can see it on the Facebook page, Worship City Alliance.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Actually, I just was going to plug my women's conference. And so I've got some cards. Jason, would you hand them out? And even if you're a guy, would you please take one and give it to a woman? This year is really going to be special. I kept asking the Lord what he wanted to do. And finally, towards the end of the March, I just pressed in. I stayed up all night till he talked to me. And so I really felt like I had a visitation from the Lord. And he started talking to me about walking in the joy of our salvation and carrying his glory. And often we just get so weighted down and burdened in life, we don't look any different from the world. So I really believe that Jesus is going to walk among us, and he's going to lift off burdens. I believe people are going to be healed and delivered, whatever you need. I just saw him doing amazing things. And I think about the glory of God, and I think it's Habakkuk tells us the glory is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. So we're the ones that carry God's glory. And when he looks down on earth, I don't know about you, but I want him to see his glory on me. That this is something we need to be very intentional about. So ladies, men, if you dare, just show up. And I believe God's going to really bless us. It's August 25th and 26th. And it's actually in Nashville. It's at Oak Hill Assembly of God. That pastor has just so generously opened his doors to me. And it's August 25th and 26th. You can register online. There's a QR code on there that will take you right to the website. And, oh, I should tell you who our speakers are. If you come to WCA, you know Glenda Sutton, Tiffany Atkinson, and... Tiffany is just incredible. I called her to ask her, and she said, oh, I have a message on joy. I thought, good, I heard from the Lord. And then Glenda Sutton is just labored so many years in Nashville, in the East Nashville. She is a powerhouse, so you don't want to miss it. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marian. Yes, powerful, powerful time. We're excited about that. We really want to get behind that and support. Can I get somebody to... Oh, thank you, Jeff. You guys, every month, one of the things that we do is we take up... this is a place and way that you can give to Worship City Alliance. Another benefit of Worship City Alliance, especially for your ministries, is... there's a mailing list, an email list. If you haven't signed up, you can go to the Facebook page and do that and plug that in. But if you have an event that's happening in Nashville, it gets blown out to the email list, and it's incredible. And so we want to make that available to you as well. And so as we give, it helps make that possible, taking care of administrative costs, all of those things. So... it is a way to sow into the ministry. Last, I would like to invite Diane up. Diane, if you want to share and plug what's happening on Tuesdays, I think that this is going to be a good segue to where we're going. Thank you, Diane.
Hi, so good to see you. Thank you. Yeah, Pastor Jerry invited me, actually. He hunted me down, and he's like, you got to be there. So I was hoping to see him this morning, but I just texted him. We just prayed for you. We love you. My name is Diane Jombash. I'm from, actually, I grew up here in Nashville. So I moved here as a little girl when I was 9 years old in 85. And grew up being the only Hispanic American girl in all of the schools that I was in until... Overton, and then there was a Puerto Rican girl and a Puerto Rican guy, and that was it. So Nashville has changed quite a bit. So we've lived here. We've grown up here. If you want to hear my full story, come find me later. It's all God all over it. But what we're doing right now is we're the owners, my husband and I, were owners of Plaza Mariachi in Nashville. We founded... yeah, praise God. Like it's a God thing. Not without the warfare. But it's a God move, because when the light turns on, the darkness shudders. So we built Plaza. We founded our nonprofit, which is Hispanic Family Foundation, a lot of outreach to the Hispanic and immigrant communities. And then we have worship, Music City Worship Ministries that we just recently started. And it was... you know, to unite. It's very much like this. So it's amazing. I want to unify all the worshipers, the worship leaders, the church, bring everybody together, let God move, everybody go back out and deploy. So it's very much the mission of the Lord and the unification of the body. So we have been having these weekly services that we were not expecting the Lord to start just moving in people's lives. We have radical salvations almost every week. Last week we had baptisms. Every week our employees are getting saved. They're coming to the Lord, and it helps that they're on the clock and they have to sit there and listen while the gospel is going forth and while they're being, you know, just impacted by amazing worship like we had this morning. And then at the end, you know, does anybody, and they're just like stepping up and they're crying. And I mean, it's just been amazing. So God is moving in the immigrant community. God is moving in the Nashville community, the surrounding areas. So the more that we can come together, the more that we can create these lasting bonds and kingdom connections. I was telling one of my worship leaders last night, I said, Andrew, you know, it's really interesting. We've been praying for many years for the dry bones, right? Dry bones. We speak to the dry bones. But it's interesting what the Lord said when he spoke the second time. He said, now prophesy the sinews and all of the tissue, the connective tissue. I was like, we're in the season of the connective tissue and the sinews. So the more we come together, we force the bones to come together and function, because bones alone might as well be drumsticks. Not going to work, and they just make noise. But when we come together and we build the kingdom connections, that's when a body begins to take shape. So this is what God is trying to do. And we're just saying yes to him every single week, every day. And we just welcome you. Anytime you want to come, Tuesday nights, 6 to 7, we're bringing in DJs and cool stuff for the younger generation. 7 p.m., we start our multilingual services. So we worship in English, Spanish, Hebrew, Arabic, whoever I can pull on my worship team. And then the services are whoever's sharing or, you know, preaching, bringing the message and the gospel. It's always in English and in Spanish. So we're crying out for the nations, and we're crying out for the body of Christ.
Wow. Thank you, Diane. Just such an incredible picture of the kingdom coming through the marketplace. That's amazing. That's amazing just to see what the Lord is doing. Aaron, I'd like to invite you up here. I want you to... Aaron is going to introduce our guest today. And I'm very excited about what's about to be imparted today. So Aaron Yarnell.
Pastor. I have to introduce myself before I introduce the guest.
Yeah. This is Aaron Yarnell, the pastor of evangelism here at Unite Church and connector around the city. As Diane talked about, the joints coming together. Aaron really operates out of that. In Ephesians 4, it talks about how every joint supplies and just that connective tissue, those joints as we work together. Aaron really operates like that in the city, and it's incredible to see him really walk out like being a uniter in all the spheres that he's part of. So, Aaron.
Praise God. I have the honor of pastoring over at Plaza Mariachi, and so that's like something we've kind of done together, and it's just been wild. I remember a couple years ago I asked the Lord, I was like, what part of the body am I? Like, what part of the body am I? And he clearly said immediately, you're an elbow. And I was like, Can we be something else? I mean, like, really? Like, can we do an elbow? And he was like, well, here's the thing. Without the joint, you can't do work. And then I was like, oh, I'm an elbow. And it's amazing what happens when we embrace that calling, that body part, like whatever it is that we're supposed to be in the body of Christ with purpose and an assignment. It's what I've been seeing pretty radically happen. We planted a church in Clarksville. We got this thing at Plaza Mariachi. Got connected with Tyler. Just seeing God move all over the place in Tennessee. Man, come on up here, if you would. Guys, this is Tyler Feller. And what's wild is about 3 years ago, a mutual friend of ours tried to connect us. And for 3 years, we kind of passed messages but never got connected. And then he has had a house fellowship. Maybe you're like 2.5 miles from my house. Like, I thought I could walk to his home is what it really amounted to. And the interesting thing that I'm finding in this season of even like the WCA and what the Lord's wanting to do is there's things happening in our own backyards that we're unaware of. There's things happening across the street and, you know, around the corner, mighty moves of God doing wonderful things, and we're like not aware of them. And with social media, there's this opportunity to like be able to see it. But like what happened when I went to his living room for the first time, it's like, oh, this is good. You know, they would just worship till the presence of God gets so heavy that no one's standing. And then they just continue to worship until the Lord starts touching people, and then deliverance starts breaking out and healings happen. And, you know, it's pretty awesome. So I met you like in person only a couple months ago. Then recently he's moved from the house because they outgrew it into the 1358 page road, which a bunch of people have been at. And this is what got me connected with this guy, like, in the spirit realm. Like, I got you, man. I looked at him and I said, bro, like, this is quite a step up from the living room that you're in. And I said, what's next? And without hesitation, he looks me square in the eye and he goes, stadiums. Ooh, I felt it on me. I was like, he means it. And since then, he'll make it into some of the story, but he's not joking. Like, he's serious about it. He's committed to it. Gone into places and laid a foundation of prayer and claimed areas of Nashville, stadiums and arenas and stuff, intentionally standing on the stage and saying, this is going to be for the Lord. And I believe that there's something that behind that, when you get somebody with that kind of excitement and a dedication and an assignment, again, he knows his body part. He knows what his lane is, and we're going to see something come out of it. So when I talked to Jerry, he just happened to call me, and I said, do you know this guy? Because he had just done a service at our Plaza Mariachi and saw healings breaking out and all this stuff happening. He's going to tell you more. But I felt like there's a season when we're hidden, and then there's that season of being revealed. Like, we're about to see a Nashville reveal all over the place. And it's going to be a beautiful time, because what's coming is going to need all of us to come together and be able to operate together. So, guys, if you guys can just put your hands out towards Tyler, we're just going to believe that the Lord's going to move today. Thank you, Lord, that you're already in this place. We've felt you in the midst of worship, in the midst of our praise to you, Lord. Let this just be a continuation of worship and praise. Let your presence continue to just linger and hover and fall, even as he's dropping these words. I believe there's going to be people touched and healed in the midst of this release of what he has. I just hear the Lord saying there's going to be healings breaking out in this room today. So if you came with a need, you came with a miracle, want, or a longing, or even for somebody else, even like Jerry, we're going to believe that Jerry's being touched right now as this message is being released. So Lord, we just thank you. We just bless you, Lord. We just praise your name. Just fill Tyler's mouth and fill our hearts with what we need to hear today. Jesus' name, or maybe what we don't need to hear today, in Jesus' name, that works too. Praise God. Love you, brother.
Love you, man. Well, it's such a pleasure and honor to be here. And stadiums, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? For the kingdom. What I love about our ministry is we've been so intentional. It's not about a person. I'm rarely the one that even preaches at what we do, because I believe in empowering other people, and we're going to continue to do that. Actually, I'm going to talk a lot about that today. We have several of our leaders here. If you're one of our leaders, would you guys just stand up? We got like a little corner over here, and so you guys can honor them. And Bailey's an incredible worship leader. She and another guy, Zach, do our worship. Bailey's on Capitol Records, and she has some amazing songs coming out. And it's incredible to see how God's going to just catapult her. So you need to be following her now, because I have a feeling in a couple of years from now, she's going to be hard to get in touch with, because God's going to increase her platform so much. But she's incredible, isn't she? I posted on my Instagram, like, the best worship leader in Nashville right here. That's the way I feel. I'm a little biased, but that's the way I feel. Well, I'm glad to be here. And if there's something I would tell you, it would be that the eyes of God are turned to Nashville right now. You feel it? You know what I'm talking about? The eyes of God are turned to our city right now. And I'm kind of new to the charismatic movement. Like, I'm actually pretty fresh in this whole thing. I've been a Baptist pastor my whole adult life. And before that, I was like the teenager that worked at the Baptist camp. And so I'm like really new to the charismatic movement. And the Lord put it on my heart to think about revival. And I'm like, what is revival? Because in the Baptist world, revival is like, you have a week-long service where like the most dedicated people in your church come. And the first night, there's like 100 people, and there's only 20 people by the last night. So when the Lord started putting revival on my heart, I was like, I'm not sure I want to do that. And that actually sounds like torture to me as a pastor and as a church leader. And I started reading the history of my church, and it was in rural Illinois. The town is only 3,000 people. Well, it depends on like which sign you look at, because if you come from the north, the sign says 3,000. If you come from the west, it says 2,800. If you come from the east, it says 2,900 on the little population sign. And I actually don't know what the population of the town was that I was living in, like somewhere between 2,800 to 3,000. So I always just say 3,000. It makes it sound a little cooler, a little bigger, a little badder. But the Lord put it on my heart, like, think about revival. And I start like investigating the history of the church. And in the early 1970s, there was this incredible revival that took place. Somebody in the church was injured in a car accident, and he was a teenager at the time. He got put into the hospital, and the youth group got together and started praying for his supernatural healing in this Baptist church. And they started praying. We believe God's going to heal him. We believe God's going to heal him. And He was driving. Everyone in the car had died other than him. He had several broken bones. He wasn't supposed to be able to move at all. The youth group of the church started praying, and he was supernaturally touched by God, jumped out of the hospital bed. And so the church at the time was like, we've never seen anything like this. And this was in the middle of the Jesus People movement. So they said, let's host a revival, you know, the week-long thing. And it blew up. Hundreds of people started coming from 6 or 7 different states, and God used that revival to call many well-known people into ministry in this little town. And I didn't even know about it, but the pastor that was called, actually the one who was in the car accident that drove, his name's Randy Clark. And several of you guys probably know who he is. He was the teenager who was driving the car where his friends died, and he was going to that church. And so the Lord put it on my heart to study revival. And I'm like, oh, I need to learn a little bit about revival. And I hear about the history of the church. And I had no clue who Randy Clark was at the time. I know him well now, but I didn't know who he was at the time. And he felt like the Lord put it on his heart to call me. And he felt like the Lord put it on his heart to invest his energy into me and adopt me as a spiritual son of his. And so I was very cautious at first. Again, I've only been Baptist my whole life. And so I knew about him from hearing the story of what took place, but he wasn't exactly like the most celebrated person in the church, because he's obviously no longer Baptist if you know who he is. And he took me with him to a conference called Church Growth Signs and Wonders Conference, which that conference is actually going on again right now. And I was like, I think I can get away with it because of the church growth part of it, because I probably couldn't get away with telling my church that I was going to like a Signs and Wonders conference. So I just told my leaders, like, oh, it's a cool church growth conference in Pennsylvania that I'm going that I'm going to. And I went, and they prayed impartation. And when I came back, somebody was the first person I prayed for. If somebody I cared dearly about was diagnosed with cancer, like a rare form of aggressive cancer. We prayed for her, and she went in for surgery, and the cancer was completely gone. And because of that, someone in my family was saved. Because I'm like, what would it take for you to be saved? They're like, we need to see a miracle. I'm like, okay, I just found out about those. And so I think we might be able to see one. So we pray, she's healed. Then someone in my family comes to know the Lord. And then crazy things started happening in my life. Like I told you guys, my town was really small that I was living in. It's 3,000 people. It was the county seat. There's no bigger town in a 35-mile radius. I mean, it's like the thing. We had three restaurants. You ready for them? McDonald's, Subway, and Dairy Queen. That's it. And McDonald's was like the crown jewel. So, like, if you're splurging, if you want like a night out on the town, McDonald's is where it was at. And so it was a Friday night in Friday Night Lights football town. I'm hanging out at McDonald's, as is the entire town, as is the entire opposing team. Literally the drive-thru, like, it's the longest line. The only time there's ever been a line longer in that city was when the eclipse came, because it went right over the town I was living in. Like, this is the most action our church has ever seen, because our parking lot was full of people wanting to see the eclipse. So I'm sitting at McDonald's, and one of the football players comes in. And I'm just there with a couple of my friends who he knows are a part of our church and leadership. And he looks over and he's like, hey, I got injured. I need one of you guys to pray for me. And I don't know what got into me. It was the boldness of Randy Clark, I think. I don't really know what happened. Impartation I had received, fired up because I seen somebody healed from cancer. I stood up in the middle of McDonald's. I want you to know that pretty much every employee of McDonald's went to my church. So there was like a level of authority that I had that I didn't realize inside of that restaurant. And I said, hey, we're going to pray for him right now. The whole place stops. The opposing team even stands up. The workers take their little visors off. And I'm like, I've only prayed for one person for healing and it works, so I think that this can probably work. And I'm standing behind him and I just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now his shoulder is going to be healed. We declare it's by and through the blood of Jesus. We speak healing over his body. And as I'm praying for him, I see the look across from him on my friend's face, which was, and I know that the power of God touched him. And so he's like, wow. I'm totally healed. And he was the only good football player we had on our team. So the whole town was actually depending on that prayer. Like, it was an important prayer. And so we pray for him. He's supernaturally healed. And the entire football team comes to church on Sunday. And so I'm preaching the gospel, and every single one of the football players responds to the altar that Sunday morning. And then the football coach finds out about what happens. And so he's like, can you start meeting with the football team every week? And I'm like, sure, I would love that. And so I start meeting with the football team every week. And actually, the local Fox News found out about what happened, and they did a story on it. They interviewed me, and they played the video testimony of this young man who was healed, and we prayed for him in McDonald's. Like, it became this thing. And the football team, I'll just tell you guys, the year before did not win a game. And then we started meeting every week for prayer. There's healing running through them. They made it to the playoffs that year. And so then the basketball coach finds out about what happens. And he's like, can you start meeting with the basketball team every week? And so I start meeting with the basketball team on Friday mornings. We go in, they'd be doing their free throws and different things they have to do. And they, you know, they have a successful season too. And we saw the favor of God begin to show up in our town. Other weird things happened too. It wasn't just healing. Like this one time I wanted to preach a sermon on like letting go of our sins, and I wanted a helium tank because I thought, how cool would it be to tie our sins to a balloon and watch them evaporate? It's cool, right? Well, I went into this store called Fred's. You ever been to a Fred's? They don't even have them anymore. They've closed those things down. And I was like, hey, do you have a helium tank? And this young man, Noah, was working. He's like, oh, we don't have helium tanks here, but I'll check with the manager. So he checks with the manager, and he said, hey, do we have helium tanks? And the manager's like, we haven't had a helium tank in 10 years. And then I don't know what came out of me. It was like in Acts chapter 4 when Peter's in front of the judge and just speaking eloquently. I said this. It was word vomit. I would have taken it back if I had control over my tongue at the moment. I said, that's okay. There'll be one here tomorrow. This young man that I was telling there will be a helium tank to, despite the fact there hasn't been one in 10 years, was kind of like an atheist. He grew up Catholic. He was studying organic chemistry in college. I don't know. It's kind of a weird situation, but he texted me the next day and he said, hey, you need to get down to Fred's. I'm used to, as the pastor in a small town, kind of the large church in the small town, constantly being called to weird things. Like somebody dies, the sheriff calls me and I'm there. Or somebody's in the hospital, I'm there. I'm constantly getting called. So I'd kind of forgot about the helium tank thing. He's like, you need to get down to Fred's. I'm like a first responder. It's like, really, if you're a pastor in a small town, your job is actually first responder. So I'm like hustling down to Fred's and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, you're never going to believe this story. He said, I emptied the truck today and the truck started to pull away, but then the driver got out and said, hey, you forgot one box. And he throws it to him and it's a helium tank. And he catches it and he's like, oh my gosh, I've got to call him down here. And so I looked at him in the eye and I said, I guess this means you'll be at church on Sunday. And he did. He came to church, and he never missed church again until he went off to college. And then I went to visit him where he was going to college just to make sure he kept going to church. And every week for about 6 months, he sent me a picture from the front row of this church where he kept going and kept going. His life was totally impacted just from a moment of me not having control of my tongue, being powerfully touched by God. And then in the summer of 2021, I got COVID. Like, how many of you, probably everyone, got COVID around that time frame? Like the Delta variant. I thought I was going to die. In fact, there was a moment where I was okay with dying. I was like, I think this is it. And really, what's happened to me since I've had COVID has been worse. I was bedridden for about 6 months, and I had to step away from my church. I couldn't preach. I couldn't stand up and preach. When I did preach, they'd have to bring a chair, and I could barely make it through. We had three services on a Sunday. I could barely make it through one. And so I had to resign from my church. And like, can't you just take a sabbatical? I'm like, I don't think so, because I don't know what's wrong with me. Long COVID wasn't really a thing at the time, and I just knew, I felt like I can't get out of bed. I don't know what's going on with me. And so I don't know why. I just came to Nashville. I left my church, didn't have a job, didn't really have an income, didn't know what I was going to do. I just came to Nashville. This was about a year and a half ago. And I spent probably the next 7 or 8 months in and out of Vanderbilt Hospital as like a lab rat. They've tested me for everything I could possibly be tested for, and figured things out. I'm not totally healed, to be honest with you. I'm a lot better than I was. I can stand up now, praise God. And I have really, really good days. And then some days I have really bad days. But I'm actually thankful that this has happened to me. I'm actually grateful. One, I have more compassion for people who have weird sicknesses and illnesses. I've been to the hospital 1,000 times. I go to the hospital several times a week when I was a pastor. I've been to the hospital thousands of times, but never as a patient. And so I know what it's like now. But God also has used this time to redirect my steps to Nashville. And can I tell you this? The eyes of God are on this city. The eyes of God are turned towards this city. And So I started this gathering, like, in Nashville in my house, because I felt like the Lord said, I'm going to give you a month off, a month of sabbatical for every year that you pastored. And I was given this prophetic word, several prophetic words about what God was going to lead me to do in the city. And at the time, I had an apartment downtown in a high-rise in the city, and it was incredible, but after our first two gatherings, we'd completely filled the space. And so I got a house and a living room, and after a couple gatherings there, how many October through, like five gatherings or so, we'd completely filled that space. And then we started meeting at this 1358 Page Road that Aaron mentioned, and we've now completely filled that space. And we're seeing people touched, incredibly powerful. This past encounter night, we call it encounter night, it was so powerful. We had someone who was ministering, and he was vulnerable about what he was going through, and he did corporate deliverance, but then he invited anybody to come up and renounce. And for about 2 hours, I would say, that's how long it was, about 2 hours, every single person that came up received deliverance. I've never seen anything like it. It was person after person after person. They would renounce, they would manifest, and then they would be set free, and the place would erupt. I've never seen anything like it. It's like the hand of God and the power of God is moving on what we're doing. I want to share, is it okay to share a couple of scriptures with you guys? How long do I have to preach too, by the way? Like, when do we end this thing? 2 p.m. Okay, good. All right. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. And I'm going to be in Ephesians 4 too, but it says this, Acts chapter 17, verse 24. Are you guys enjoying so far? Feeling good? Feeling encouraged? Love what God's doing in this city? Acts chapter 17, verse 24, it says, He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve His needs, for He has no needs. He Himself gives life and breath to everything, and He satisfies every need. And this is the part I want to share with you. It says this, from one man He created all of the nations throughout the whole earth. And it says this, He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and He determined the boundaries. Folks, the eyes of God are on Nashville right now, and He's determined in 2023 that we would not only be alive at this time, but we would be alive in Nashville. Do you understand the weight of responsibility that God's putting on our shoulders? Not that He's not moving in other places, but I travel significantly right now. I'm on the road at least two or three times a month. I was just in Miami for 4 days. I just got back. And the atmosphere is notably and markedly different in Nashville than other cities of the world. And like a magnet, He's sucking people here. Every day I meet someone from California or New York or Louisiana that want to come to Nashville, and they don't know why. It's because God is moving here. And He's trusting us to steward something. You want me to tell you what that thing is? Revival. He's trusting us to steward revival, and not a manufactured week of just continual services. I'm talking about an outpouring of His power like we have never seen. When I first moved to Nashville, I saw God raising up a group of people and a ministry that didn't make it about a person or a pastor or a place, but they put Jesus in His rightful place, not just at the center of it, but permeating every aspect of it. They were recklessly devoted to God and relentlessly pursuant of His heart, which includes reaching lost people. And from that, the spheres of influence that we collectively dream about reaching were being reached. See, part of the problem that I see is that churches make it so much about the mantle or responsibility of a pastor, but I don't see that in the way that God's speaking to me, how He's going to reach the NFL player, the wealthy businessman, the country star, or the politician. From what I feel like the Lord's showing to me, it's the front office worker at Nissan Stadium who's going to reach the NFL player. It's the Uber driver who's going to reach the wealthy business person. It's the hostess who's going to reach the politician. It's the sound guy at some venue that's going to permeate the heart of the country star. And so a lot of ways, the church model that we're living in today is broken. And trust me, I've spent most of my life working inside of the church. God's used me as a consultant for some of the most famous churches in this country. I've sat in the boardrooms of at least five churches that have over 25,000 people that they average on a Sunday, and countless more that average over 10,000 people that I've sat in. And I'm just here to tell you, the church model that we're living in today in a lot of places are broken. Pastors are given too much responsibility, and they have too high of expectations, and we don't trust the people to do the work of the saints, which they're called to do. And in return, we have groups of people, hundreds in most, but thousands in some, that attend churches that are just building the pastor's vision instead of the pastor building the people. And I have a theory that the church has been answering questions that the people are not asking. So I started to ask people when they were coming, why are you here? And you want to know what they were saying? They want to know how to pray for the sick. They want to know how to do a deliverance. And they want to know how to lead people to the Lord. And most of the people that have been coming to the gatherings that we have are going to really powerful, established churches in the city. And it's not a knock on them, but there's hungry people who just want to be taught how to pray for the sick, how to do a deliverance, and how to lead someone to the Lord. Fundamentally, as ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is our job. And by and large in America, it is not being done. God right now is trusting us in Nashville to correct course and to make some changes. In my revival history classes in seminary that I attended, they talked about in the early days of the church, you weren't even allowed to attend the church unless you had been baptized, because there wasn't enough seating or space available. What does that mean? What is the clue piece that it's telling us? It's telling us that the people were empowered to go out and share the gospel with people and baptize them so they can be brought into the church to talk about the apostles' teaching so that they can be equipped to go out and do the ministry. I want to remind you today of our responsibilities. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Did anybody bring their Bible? You got it on your phone? Oh, a Bible. I like that. Oh, another one. I like Bibles. Anybody ever seen the picture of Donald Trump holding the flag and he's like swaying with the flag? That's how I feel about the Bible. It's like me swaying with the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you, it says this, to lead a life worthy of your, what's that word? Worthy of your what? Calling. People don't talk about calling anymore, do they? Hardly ever you hear people called. You're like, oh, I felt led. Oh, I was doing this. Oh, I did that. Or I wanted to do that. Or I was good at this. So I thought I could do that. There's something about being called. Something about being called by God. When I was pastoring, I went into our junior high ministry because I felt like the Lord said, if we're going to raise up the next generation of world changers that preach and teach the gospel, the best age to start is when they're in middle school. So I went to our junior high ministry and I said, hey, any of you feel called to be a preacher? No one's ever asked them that. 12 hands went in the air. So I started a thing called the Junior Preachers Club, where I said, I'm going to meet with you guys. You're going to come up with sermons. You're going to give it in front of us and this group. And then once you have it shaped up enough, you're going to preach it in front of the people. And we did that. I did that for like a year. And it was really powerful. 12 people. In a small, like 12 junior high kids in a small town say, I feel called to preach the gospel. How many people are in our ministries that are called by God, but nobody's asked them? Nobody's gave them an opportunity to actually live a life that's worthy of their calling, because we're trying to get them to live a life worthy of what they feel like they want to do. We need to have people go back to what the Bible says, which is being called by God. Is that too strong? Because I can make it easier if you want me to. I can turn down the notch a little bit if you need me to. I'm not, I'm Baptist. I would get in trouble in the Baptist church for preaching this, I think. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other. Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. That's the thing about apostolic covering. It's so much different than denominationalism, because it is a family. And if you're in a family, you can have a weird uncle that shows up at Thanksgiving, but they're still a part of your family, right? So when you have an apostolic covering, what you're basically saying is, hey, it's okay, you're kind of weird, but we're making allowance for that because we're bathed in love. And you know what I've seen? A lot of times it's the weird people that have the most powerful ministries. You ever notice that? It's like the weird people who are used powerfully by God. They're the ones that are like more accurate than the prophet with the microphone a lot of times. It says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Oh, I love that word. Blessed are the peacemakers. For there is one body, one spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. says, verse 5, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and living through all. However, he's given us each a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, I love this part, that he ascended to the heights and he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. And notice that it says he ascended. This clearly means that Christ also ascended to our lowly world, descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than the heavens, so he might fill the universe with himself. See, Christ was seated in glory, and actually all of the value of heaven existed in the personhood of Jesus. And he descended to the lowly place, which is this earth, to even descend to an even lower place, which is the pit of hell, to steal the keys to death and Hades forever, to be exalted to an even higher place. Why? So that all of the universe will be filled with his presence. And he calls us to be his co-heir, his co-laborer in him in this process of making sure that we're so filled with the aroma of Christ that when we walk into spaces and places that don't know him, we are responsible for bringing this presence with us. Do you understand? He was in the highest place, seated at the right hand of God, and decided to descend to this earth, a low place, that he who knew no sin became our sin so we could be made right with God. Then he went into the pits of hell, stole those keys, and ascended to heaven, gave us the keys to all kinds of things so that we can be trusted with the responsibility in Nashville, Tennessee in 2023 to make sure that the universe is filled with his presence. Some of our cars are not even filled with his presence, the stuff we got planned. For real, you guys should turn on the fish, I think. I didn't know what it was till just now, but I'm picking up that it's the radio station. Some of our homes are not filled with the presence, and we want to be trusted by God to bring it to the universe? Come on. Verse 11, it says, these are the gifts that God gave the church, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You know, a lot of movements and denominations either don't believe in those five offices or have a bad understanding of them. It's like a lot of them, especially all the ones that I'm kind of coming out of, don't believe in those things. I'm like, I still don't understand. No one's given me a good argument as to why those things don't exist. I've studied it all. I've studied in seminary. I wrote papers about it. I still, in my brain, even with my Baptist background, cannot understand how you would not believe that those things exist today. I still can't understand it. There's literally not one single good argument. The argument is like, well, it's because those have passed because, you know, we're living in a different era or whatever. I'm like, I don't think so. It passed with the early disciples. I don't think so. It just doesn't make any sense. The scripture actually says those gifts will pass when we're in unity. Hello, if we were in unity, we wouldn't be in this room right now. That's the point of what this room's about. Those things haven't passed, so I don't understand it. But the ones that do believe in it have a really bad understanding of what those things are supposed to do. So, for one thing about pastors, if you're actually called to be a pastor, your job is to be the shepherd of the people, right? And a lot of churches who have pastors, they actually think they're apostles, and they want them to go to a mountaintop and get a vision and bring it back to the people, and also run the business side of the church, and also run the evangelism side of the church, and also run the teaching side of the church. You know how strong a church would be if you had those five things in function? Like, this is actually the way that God created the church structure to be. And prophets, unfortunately, are often misused as just fortune-telling in the church. As far as I can read in Scripture, somebody who has the office of prophet is actually also supposed to give warning words. They're supposed to be trusted in the house. They're supposed to come alongside the apostle and help build what's going on with divine strategy. And it feels like we pimp them out just to try to speak into what we're doing as a fortune-teller, Christian fortune-teller. Which is mixing, in my opinion, New Age with our walk with God, with the Spirit of God. Aaron's like got a grin on his face. A lot of apostles that I see either have false humility by saying, don't call me apostle, but want to lead with an iron hand of authority. And they have dominance without relationship. And they still lead from, like, if you talked about a pyramid, from the top down. Well, when I read the Bible, the apostle's the lead servant. It's upside down. The weight of the ministry is on the apostle. The apostle's the one that's washing the feet. The apostle's the lead servant. The apostle's the first one to say, get me out of the way. And when we understand what this is saying, then we understand what our responsibility is, which happens in the next verse, verse 12. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. And so the ministry that I'm a part of, which we don't really have a name, we just call one of the functions of what we do Encounter Night, we're being used by God to slingshot people into their purpose. We're being used by God to pull people back and launch them into their destiny so they could do the work that God's called them to do. Our job's not to build a vision. The job's not to build my vision as the leader of what's going on. It's a terrible ministry if everyone there is just a little worker bee for the thought that I have about what I want to do. It's amazing and powerful and has exponential impact if we pour in and build the people that are coming. Basically opposite of the way that I see churches done. It's like, okay, actually, what are you here for? That's what we're going to do. What is God calling you to do? That's how we're going to help you. I love the story of Matthew. Have you guys read this story in Matthew chapter 9 when he's actually called into ministry? Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. It says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. He said, follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So he got up and he followed him. When I think about Matthew, I think about someone who had a position. And we all have a position before the Lord, before the world, and also before God. Some of us in this room have a position of power, have a position of wealth, have a position of influence. Others have a position of service, or you might feel like you have a position of weakness. But we all have something in our life that positions us before God. Matthew was actually positioned as an enemy of the people. He was a tax collector. He was an outcast. You might ask, what was he an outcast of? Well, he was cast out of the synagogue because of his job. He wasn't allowed to actually go to church. That's crazy to me. And he was a sinner. And the sins that he was committing as a tax collector in the eyes of the world were unforgivable. You weren't supposed to associate with these types of people, especially Jesus. But he looks at Matthew, and he looks at his position, and guess what he sees? His potential. We don't know a lot of details about Matthew. We see an account in the book of Matthew, the book of Luke. And we don't know much details. We know he had a father named Alphaeus. We know it sometimes they call him Levi. So I start to think, did he want to be a priest? Is that where he got his name from? Was his dad Alphaeus a tax collector? I don't know much about Matthew's background. We're not given that clue piece. The Chosen made it seem like he's autistic. Maybe he was. I don't know. But here's what I do know about him. He needed someone to see his potential. So what happens with Matthew, though, is that he actually becomes a tax collector. Unclean, hated, cast out of the synagogues, called a sinner. Jesus is not supposed to associate with him. But then Jesus comes along. He's walking along and he sees Matthew. And what does he see? He doesn't see his position. He sees his potential. He's thinking, well, this is a man who probably travels a lot for his job. Jesus thinks, we're going to travel a lot for the mission we're on. Here's a man who knows lots of languages. Jesus is thinking, that can come in handy because we're going to go to some places where they speak some different languages. Jesus says, here's a man who's connected to a lot of sinners. Jesus thinks, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Do you understand what's happening? Jesus is looking at his position, and he doesn't see all the things that his disciples were likely fuming over when Jesus called them into ministry. He sees his potential, and he called them into that potential with giving him a purpose. As ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are called by God to speak into the value of someone's potential, not their position. And we call them higher. We speak their destiny over them. We help them navigate against the tactics and tools of the devil. We cut away anything in them that isn't of God. We look past their position and we see their potential. One more story I want to tell you. It's about someone when I was a youth pastor in our ministry named Ashley. And the first day that we launched this youth ministry, it was a part of a church plant. We had 286 students show up. on our first night of youth ministry. And then it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. We had hundreds of kids coming to know the Lord, getting baptized. I had to rent out the city pool just to do baptisms. And it was like 2 hours long of us just baptizing these young people. And so instantly I'm like, we've got to disciple them. And so I construct this plan to get different small groups. Like every grade and gender has their own small groups. Like seventh grade girls have their own small group. And I had a big staff at the church I was a part of. And so I have to go to my staff and like, guys, I'm going to launch these small groups in our ministry. And they're like, okay, but tell us who the small groups leaders are. And so I go down the list. And when I got to one name, this is so bad. I'm so embarrassed that this even happened. When I mentioned this person's name, their name's Ashley, all of the staff started laughing. Like, she's not going to do it. Like, there's no way she has the skills to do that. You're going to trust her? I'm like, to lead a seventh grade girls' small group? Are you kidding me? Like, they vetoed it. They told me I wasn't allowed to do it. And I totally disagreed with them. And so I just went against the staff of my church and let her lead it anyways. And she was phenomenal. She became so amazing at this job. It was the strongest small group that we had, but she became so good as a small group leader. Again, I was looking past her position, and I was seeing her potential that nobody else could see. The church hired her on staff to lead the kids' ministry. Yeah. And then I moved from that church, and a couple years later, I went to the denominational gathering. They had asked me to be one of the speakers at the big conference for the denomination that year. And guess who was leading the kids' ministry for the entire denomination at the conference? It was Ashley. I'm so glad that I was like, no, we're going to let her do this. We're going to trust her with this responsibility, despite the fact that nobody else could see it. The ministry that I'm a part of is about to employ, deploy thousands of Ashleys across this city. We're going to cut away anything that anybody's spoken over them that's a word curse. We're going to lead them into deliverance. We're going to teach them how to pray for the sick, how to do a deliverance, how to lead someone to the Lord. We're going to figure out what it is that they're called for, and we're going to launch them out. And by the way, when we launch them, it's going to be far. It's going to be high. It's going to be deep, and it's going to be wide. Can I remind you today that the eyes of God are on Nashville right now? What are we going to do with this that he's entrusted us? I'm going to pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for being in this place. Thank you for the word of the Lord. Thank you for your scripture, if nothing else, Lord. If none of my words resonated, may your scripture resonate. That you've called us to equip people to do the work of the ministry. Father, I pray for every single church leader in this room right now that you would move powerfully in their heart. That they would have a heart to see people beyond their position and into their potential. I thank you, Lord, that you are uniting the city. And I don't understand it, but thank you for turning your eyes to this geographical location. Thank you that your presence is here, that your power is here, that your grace is here, and we don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss what you're doing, God. We don't want to miss what you're doing, God. We don't want to miss what you're doing, God. We don't want to miss what you're doing, God. And so I just speak to any priority or preference that we have that is not ours, including my own, God. If there is any priority or preference that I have when it comes to leading a ministry that it's not yours, would you just purge that out of me right now? I declare in this room right now there are thousands of salvations coming. I declare in this room there are Ephesians 3:20 for some people who have been waiting and praying in secret for a supernatural move of God, and it hasn't came to pass. Your moment is not over. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for a group of humble people. A group of humble people following in the way of our master, stopping for the one like Zacchaeus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Lord, I pray for more deliverance in our city. I combat every single demonic attack against Nashville, against the people of Nashville, every spirit of witchcraft.
My lungs burn in my heart.
Every spirit of witchcraft. Every group that's sitting around scheming how to stop the work of God. Lord, you tell us what we bind will be bound and what we loose will be loosed. So we bind up any attack over any person's ministry in this room right now, and we throw it deep into the abyss under the authority of heaven. And I lose heaven. I lose potential. Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Lord's saying that there's keys to heaven's economy that are opening up over some of you guys. You're waiting for financial provision for you to step into the thing that he's called and asked you to do. I feel the Lord saying he always funds your vision. He always funds your vision. And I don't think that Peter was able to stand on the water until both feet were on that water. I know that the sea didn't part until Moses had his feet in the water. I feel like the Lord is saying to some of you, it's time for you to step out into the water and trust him in an area where you haven't trusted him. And Lord, I pray that when they do that, you'll release heaven's economy over them, that you have funding for the thing that you've called them to do, Lord, I pray that they will rise up and live a life worthy of their calling, And thank you, Jesus, that you decided to leave the highest place to come to the low place, to go to an even lower place, to steal the keys to death and Hades forever, to be exalted to an even higher place so that the universe will be filled with your presence. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting us to bring your presence to the world around us. I bless every person in here with a special blessing of your presence, that people will take notice of them because they walk in the room and the atmosphere shifts. Thank you, Lord. I feel like the Lord's just pouring out with oil his presence over your head. When you leave this place and you go to a restaurant or you get in an Uber or you go to a meeting, I feel like the presence of God is going to be resting on some of you in a unique way today. And so I bless them with the presence of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Can we pray over you? Yeah, we just want to spend some time blessing. Tyler, what a powerful, powerful word. Karen, you've got a word.
Okay. When they asked me to pray for you, last night I was praying. I don't know anything about you, but I do. I'm the pastor of the girl whose house that you have your meeting on page. And I've heard about these meetings, but I still didn't know anything. So I'm just going to give you this in pieces. The word Nehemiah came to me about you. And everybody knows the story about Nehemiah and the wall, even the opposition. But at the same time, when Nehemiah was on the earth, Zechariah and Haggai were prophets that were prophesying into that work. There's two ways to look at a work. You have to look spiritually. There's also a secular way where the politicians get involved. And it's really, it's the word of God out of Nehemiah. But the scripture that I got for you was Haggai 1:8, it says, and this is for you, and now I see why I got this word. Go up to the mountain, and this is a spiritual mountain, and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. So I just have to break this word build down for you, because it does mean to obtain children and to build. But it's a Hebrew word that also means bring repair. And the Lord's saying, I'm going to use you to restore foundations that have been broken. He's going to use you to bring balance, because a false balance is an abomination. He's going to use you to bring reformation in this age. And then Ephesians 4, and you had it on the board, because to equip the saints, the fivefold, equip is a Greek chiropractic term that means to set bones back in order, like... And every time you're bringing forth these words, there's going to be a chiropractic adjustment to bring order. So your calling is really, you know, Nehemiah means comfort. You're going to bring comfort and consolation to God's people in the body. But Haggai also in the roots is the word chag that means the feast. And feast represents set times. And God's saying now, you're going to go to Mount Zion. You're going up. He's going to bring you up in the spirit realm. He's going to give you the revelation knowledge like he did in Moses. You're going to come down and you're going to repair the house. Like you've got a real work of a doctor in the spirit. So, Father, we just bless you, and I hope you receive this word because it's a serious commission you have, and it is it's a doctor's job, but it's you're very apostolic, and nobody can say, "Well, you're too young for that." No, you're sent, but you're going to be sent to keep adjusting the bones so that when that spine is adjusted, you know, if you've ever had an adjustment, you can breathe and the cells and the blood and all the oxygen are flowing. So I just want to leave that with you, and I bless you in your work. And we receive you, amen, in this city.
Yes, yes, Tyler, we do. You guys, let's just go ahead and extend your hand toward Tyler. Father God, we thank you for this timely word. This time of coming together. Lord, we thank you for bringing Tyler into this city. We honor him in this city. Yes. Where it says that those who look to him are radiant. You've got eyes that are radiant, Tyler. Yes. They're not oxidized. They're not blurry. You're seeing very, very clearly. And what's happening is it's opening the eyes and it's opening the hearts of those of us who have been in ministry for a long time. You're not operating out of a place of skepticism, you know, of wondering. And I just declare over you that you will always walk in a very deep sense of wonder. Lord, we thank you. Your word says that unless you come to me like one of these little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, thank you that his eyes see clear. And you notice, you see people that come into your presence in your gatherings, even the people that you connect with, you really see them. And your intentional, your intentionality, and your ability to dial down and be fully present in the moment, setting aside any ministry responsibilities at that moment just to see them and minister encouragement, reminding them of who they are. It's amazing. And that is one of the gifts that you bring. You impart that everywhere that you go, everywhere that you speak. It changes atmospheres. Lord, we thank you and we honor Tyler. Lord, in this city, Lord, we thank you that your eyes are on this city. And we thank you, God, that you are bringing people from regions all around this nation for this time, this season. Give us eyes, God, to see what you see. We're available for whatever you want to do. Lord, we pray for expansion, great breakthrough over his ministry, greater reach. Lord, just catapult him in places that he never thought possible for your glory. Lord, bring refreshment over him. But Father, we thank you for the favor that he walks in and the amazing God stories that are going to come forward to bring you glory and honor, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Marion.
We just push our warfare back from you. Amen. Everyone that has spoken a word out of season, words that don't edify, and just words of witchcraft and pure wickedness, we break all of that off. In fact, we pull that out of your hearing where it's tried to remain in your being, and it just still kind of bounces around in there. We say no to that. And today we pull all those words of rejection, words of hatred, words of misunderstanding. We just ask the Lord to come in and purify your hearing, that we could pull out all this noise of the enemy so that you could hear the Lord even more clearly than you are now. In Jesus' name, and as leaders of this city, and if y'all even want to stand up, we say, we accept you in the city of Nashville. You are welcome in the city of Nashville, and we honor your authority, we honor your gifting in Jesus' name. And we say the doors of the church in this city are open to you. The doors of businesses, that sports arena, Every door that you need open, we say it will be open to you. And the rejection has to stop. We say today, all rejection is cut off in the spirit realm. And we say we welcome you not only as an apostle, but as a prophet, as a healer, as a deliverer. And because you walk your talk, you're going to have great impact in the city. And I also saw your hands tied together while Mark was praying for you. So we untie your hands. Whoever has tried to stop the work of your hands by keeping them tied up and bound, today we loose you from that. We loose you from everything that would keep your hands bound from doing the work of God. And we speak over you today that the hand of the Lord is not too short for you, to reach you. The hand of the Lord is not too short to reach you. And so I just speak to you today to lift up your eyes to the hills from whence your help comes, and to think bigger, think bigger, think bigger. This is a season of preparation for you, preparation, preparation in the spirit. As you're digging, digging, digging into this city, there's a preparation in you that's going on, and what the Lord is mantling you with now will be what you need in the future. And I just also dust off any hopelessness in Jesus' name. It's rampant in this city. And we say it has no place in you, in Jesus' name. And I call forth all the help that you need. We are the volunteer state. There is anointing here to volunteer. So we call forth the selfless, faceless volunteers that you need. In Jesus' name, people just set up chairs. People just do the cleaning of the toilets, whatever you need in Jesus' name. And I also say the Lord wants to amplify your voice in this city. Amplify your voice, not for man's purposes, but for the glory of God. And we just ask for an increase of that glory. And also, there's something about your shoes. You need new shoes for new assignments. So that's something James Gall always prayed. I learned that from him. So we ask for the shoes that you need for every assignment. And it may be you need to change your shoes multiple times a day, that God has different assignments and you need to walk accordingly in Jesus' name. And I just pray increase in hearing, increase in seeing, increase in compassion. Jesus cried and wept when he saw Jerusalem because of how the people had been rejected and treated by their shepherds. Lord, we ask for the compassion to come forth. People need compassion of God in this season. In Jesus' name. Amen.
It's jealousy that has to be pulled down as well. Mm. So let's just include that in your prayer. And, you know, jealousy is cruel as the grave. But you got the Nehemiah part here. You know what he faced, but the wall was completed. You're going to fulfill your purpose. But yeah, Pastor Carl, can you pray?
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, we break that off. Jealousy, strife, anything that breaks the bond of unity in your people, we cast it off of our friend here, Tyler. Thank you for his word to speak prophetically into leaders in the city that we're reminded to join together in unity, Lord, and we receive it as a mandate from our friend and brother. Lord, yes, and we speak this thing where we're breaking off all of the things that have stood, the things that break communities down, that break churches down, that break leadership down, all of the strife, infighting, all the things we know we shouldn't step into, and yet we get trapped. So, Lord, we receive the blessing by his word today, that Ephesians 4 thing. Whew, that did me in today. So, Lord, we step into it as it was spoken prophetically that, Lord, we're going to move in a different way. Your word, Tyler, about revival, we receive it. And any of us, being honest, we're seeing it. We're seeing the Lord do things in and through all of us that we haven't seen before. And it's gonna get messy. I feel like the Lord said it's gonna get so messy, and we're gonna enjoy it because it's gonna get messy. It's gonna be different. And Lord, we bless the churches with the ability to flow with the mess. If you can hear what I'm saying, it's not going to look like normal church. Tyler, you're right on. The Lord's going to raise up all these Ashleys. And we as leaders and shepherds are going to have to gird up the body and to serve the body. So Lord, we want to walk like you as Tyler has spoken it, Lord. So we receive that as a mandate for Nashville. Lord, not that we're better than any city, but Lord, I'm excited about the words we keep hearing about this region. So Lord, yes, we say yes and amen. Yes and amen, Lord. We want the more. We want revival. We don't care how sloppy it gets or how it rattles our old religious paradigms. So, Lord, we cast down anything in us that would be an interference. Any interference has to go. Any misunderstanding, anything we've learned wrong, Lord, we repent of that, Lord, and we let it go. And, Lord, we say, bring on the mess. Bring on the mess, Lord. We want to go where we're supposed to go and raise up a church to raise up disciples. Lord, we want to stay hidden in you so that there are no rock star ministries, but that people are drawn to you. So, Lord, today we declare as leaders in this city that we stand with voices like this, like what you brought into the city. And we come around Tyler and other friends that are ministering the truth of the gospel. Lord, and we dedicate our lives to see your kingdom come and your will to be done right here in this earth as it's always being done in the heavenly realms, to the glory of your name, Father, through the finished work of your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit that permeates us and moves through us. Amen.
I just want to add on one more thing on the jealousy thing. They were called to provoke the Jews to jealousy. So I feel like the Lord wants to give you inroads into the Jewish community in this city. Yeah. And there's just all kinds of keys there when you do that. Yeah.
So good. Thank you for being with us, Tyler. Yeah. Thank you all for being here. And you guys, get connected with somebody you don't know. Be blessed. We're not going to be having a WCA gathering in July. We're off for the summer. We will start back in August. Go back here to the table and check out the fish table. You guys, be blessed. We love you. Have an incredible summer.